Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Mike Dettillier joins us now. M&D Draft Report will be out later. You'll need that. SaintsReport.com. You can find Mike there. MikeDettillier.com. Mike, what's up? How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
What do you think about Kyler Murray, one of the more intriguing names, of course, that we're all talking about?
Yeah, I said this back in November, and I did a column on it. It would shock me if he played baseball. You know, Bill Parcells told me this years ago that, you know, you don't build a team on exceptions, but they have them. You know, every 5'8" safety today thinks he's Tyrann Mathieu. Every 5'5", 5'6" running back is Darren Sproles. Man, we had a guy here for years, Sam Mills. God bless him. 5'9" linebacker. Yeah. He could play. You know, and you look at the quarterback position with Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. You know, those guys, you know, they prove that you don't have to be 6 foot tall to play in this league. And, man, Kyler's a special player. He throws the ball so accurately from the pocket. But he's got skills as a runner. And his improvisational skills to move away from people that you can't teach that. Either you got it or you don't. But the accuracy skills really jump out at me. He can throw the ball well from the pocket. He reads, recognizes coverage as well. Now, you're going to have to redo offensively what you think, because he's not prototypical of what you're looking for. But, man, he is skilled. And I wouldn't hesitate a second. And guys, I'll be honest with you. I think while we're talking here in February, come April, Kyler Murray is going to be talked about as one of the top one or two players in this draft class. Somebody's going to try to make a move up to get him. And it wouldn't shock me as Jacksonville. I mean, that team's in such a dire need of a quarterback and a guy to rally around offensively. And he's got that. He's got the it factor. He's smart. He's accurate with his throws. He's a leader out on the field, and he can make plays with his feet that very few human beings walking can do. And he's got a rifle. I mean, that ball comes out of there real quick. The funniest thing about all this, back in early August, one of the first shows we did to kick off our second guest show on WWL Radio, we had June Jones on, and, you know, June's been a long-time NFL head coach, quarterback mentor, and all that stuff now in the Canadian Football League. And it popped in my head. I said, June, when do you think of Kyler Murray? He started to laugh. He said, Mike, I got an NFL general manager send me about 55, 60 clips of him. I think he's a better player than Baker Mayfield.
Wow.
Said this in August. Kyler Murray ain't taken a snap at Oklahoma yet. And it's remarkable. He hit the nail on the head with that one, pegging that out. But I just think right now in a quarterback-driven world, Kyler Murray, I think the two guys are going to make a big leap. Kyler Murray is one, Drew Lock from Missouri is the other. Man, he can throw the football. I mean, he can spin it. And when he's going to get in these individual situations, people are going to see just how he can throw the football. I've been involved with the Manning camp now 20 years. The only guy that I could compare that arm strength or arm talent with was Matt Stafford. When he came down here to the Thibodaux, Louisiana, and man, he spun it. And Drew Lock is the exact same way. And I think you're going to see those two guys. Those names are going to be mentioned prominently in the top five or six players, despite the fact this is the best defensive line group I have ever done, ever, over 30 years.
Wow, that's obviously a position of need for the Titans, Mike, somebody to pair with Jarrell Casey. They also need a pass rusher, maybe around that 19th pick. Who do you think might be available at, you know, an outside linebacker type or one of those disruptive interior lineman guys?
Well, from the edge, I think one of the guys, Ja'Kai Polite, I think from Florida, would be one of them to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. I know when LSU played Florida, I talked to Coach O about him, and he was like, hey, I just hope we can slow him down. I don't know if we can block him. And, man, he was coming from every which way but loose. And they had some difficulties blocking Polite. And real quick, initial step off the line of scrimmage, man can get up the field in a flash. And so he's a guy that, you know, with a little technical work, he's going to be a really good player. And I think he would be in that category of being in that neighborhood when they pick. I'll tell you another sleeper player there. Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech. I saw him at East Feliciana High School, you know, a little outside of Baton Rouge. He was an undersized defensive end, and he had a problem I wish I had today. He can't pick up weight. he couldn't. And he was a 210, 215-pound defensive lineman. And, you know, some schools kind of peeled away from that. He goes to Tech, and he breaks Terrell Suggs' FBS record for sacks. I mean, he knows how to rush the quarterback really, really well. And I'm just telling you, he's another guy similar to what happened with Marcus Davenport a year ago. He could be that same fellow this year. As far as an interior player, Christian Wilkins from Clemson, he had a really good 2018 season. He's a mature guy, 24 years old already. He's strong at the point of attack, but, man, he is a really good athlete that can get up the field and push that pocket. But those two edge guys will be hard to pass only because the nature of the game has changed dramatically. I think 7-on-7 has changed the football world forever in our lifetime. And a lot of these 6'4", 6'5", guys that would have played defensive end or outside linebacker, man, I don't want to do that. Throw me the ball. I'm going to play wide receiver and tight end. And you're seeing fewer and fewer of those guys come out of the college ranks. But I think Polite and Jalen Ferguson are two guys to keep an eye on. As an interior player, I think Christian Wilkins would be a really good pickup for the Titans. I mean, he's a big man in the middle, and you're going to have a rough time moving him around.
Well, when you were talking about Jalen Ferguson, you said putting on weight was his problem. Oh, you look at those pictures of DK Metcalf that just came out. Apparently putting on weight, not his problem. He was swole. Is he too big now? What's going on? I know you know him well.
Yeah, he's a big man, and I sent you a picture of him.
Yes.
he came to a radio interview with Deuce McAllister and I. And, you know, and I told you what Deuce said. If he gets any bigger, he'll be playing defensive end.
Yeah.
And he'll probably be better than any of the guys who miss gas at defensive end. Man. And now to see him, he's even bigger today than he was back in July. He's put on some huge weight in the upper body. And I just worry for him, not so much speed, but adjusting himself to a pass. When you're that yoked like he is, the adjustment skills to make a catch outside your body radius, I think all eyes will be on him in his workouts and how he handles that upper body strength that he's gotten. He looks like, you know, he just walked off of Muscle Beach. But he looked like that back in July. And, you know, I'll say this. When he was there with A.J. Brown, that was the best duo from the same school I'd ever seen since Jarvis Landry and OBJ showed up one day. Yeah. And, man, these kids, I mean, their eyes was as big as saucers to watch. You know, OBJ never caught a pass two-handed. Everything was one-handed. And Jarvis, he got kind of steamed about it, and he said, man, if he's doing that, I am too. And it was a show between the two of them, but to see those two guys on the hoof and DK pull that shirt off, you know, I was like, whoa, boy. he is my number one rated receiver today. Mm. But I'm going to be interested to see how that upper body strength translates and his adjustment skills to a football. When you're that wired up, sometimes it does affect you. And I can't compare him to anybody else in the NFL who's built like that. I mean, not at wide receiver, put it to you that way.
No. That's what we were trying to think of earlier.
I was thinking of David Boston, who got so swole that his swolitude prevented him, you know, prevented him from doing his regular duties as a receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Dettelier with us.
That's pretty close. That was a few years back, and David didn't do squat in the NFL. I mean, you know, he had some difficulties. Also, too, it affected his foot speed. He, for whatever reason, he didn't work, because I'm a big believer that you generate speed. You know, his power turns into speed, and you have to have really strong lower body. Well, David was built like that in the upper body. He couldn't translate that power into speed out on the field, and he had one power move. And if I know that's what you're going to do, I can box that out.
Mike, you broke down Kyler Murray earlier. I'm curious to get your take on Haskins from Ohio State.
1 year guy, thickly built. He's a rhythm type passer. He's doesn't make a lot of bad throws. Doesn't put the ball up in crowds a lot. And I think for Haskins, the big adjustment will be reading and recognizing the different coverages you see in the NFL. I think that's where Murray and Locke have an advantage on him. I think they've seen a different look coverages much more than Haskins has. And again, a 1 year starter. At Ohio State, but physically, he's got what you're looking for. Real sharp young man. He's, you know, he does have some movement skills a little bit left and right, but he's a pocket quarterback. I mean, he's going to throw the ball. You know where he's going to be when he launches it. And he can make all the throws. The things with him that you see is confusing is when they give him a few different looks trying to find that second and third guy downfield, which is not unusual for quarterbacks today coming out, because you know you don't see a lot of that. There's a lot of designated throws, and to be honest, a lot of that is being incorporated in the NFL today. You see a ton of that college concept being used in the NFL, and I think he's going to be a real early pick, top 10, 12, top 12 pick, but I think he's got some major competition now with Kyler Murray and Drew Locke to be the number one quarterback.
Mike, if you look at the Titans roster, receiver certainly an area of need, and mock drafts, I've seen several that have put Marquise Brown in the sights of the Titans. He's an interesting guy with a really interesting backstory, and I've seen different player comps for him, but what do you see when you look at that guy? Very small in stature.
Yeah, first time I saw him, I told this to Lincoln. I said, you know who he reminds me of? Man, I grew up in the 70s. Cliff Branch.
Wow.
I mean, Cliff wasn't a big guy, but all you saw was the back of his heels if you didn't get him off his route real quick. And it's the same thing with Marquise. He's got that type foot speed. He is real agile. He catches the ball well out front with his hands. He's not a body snatcher. And, man, when he gets a step on you, you seeing it, he can kick it in another gear. I think he's a guy that'll be, a teens, early 20s pick guy. I mean, he had a guy that knew how to get him the football pretty well, but I was impressed with him. And that's the first thing I told Lincoln when we were talking about, you know, receivers. That's the first name that popped my mind. I saw him. That's Cliff Branch. Wow. And so he's got a chance to be really good in an offense that's got a bigger receiver that can excel in the short intermediate part of the field. And then you can use Marquise to blow the top off coverages, and that keeps that safety out of the box. And you see a lot of that today. It's a lot of cheating. And they use those safeties almost like another linebacker. But if you've got a speed guy, man, you can forget about that. It might happen early, but in the first time Brown runs downfield, then you got to play that safety deep downfield. He's a very interesting player who don't have a lot of meat on the bone, but man, he can flash.
Well, Mike, Jeffrey Simmons, Mississippi State defensive lineman, wasn't headed to the combine anyway because of past domestic violence stuff, but in a workout this week, I guess, torn ACL, how much does that affect him when it comes to draft?
He probably would have been a top 15 pick.
Yeah.
And I say not probably. I think he would have been a top 15 pick in a really thick draft class. Other than Quinnen Williams, I didn't see another defensive tackle was as dominant as he was this year. Constant double team, constantly. Mm-hmm. He's a big man with some growth in him, and he can rush the quarterback from the interior. You don't have a lot of those guys that can do that. I think with the ACL and understanding, he's going to miss basically all, if not a big chunk, of his rookie season. I don't think he's going to fall any. I think he'll go anywhere from 28 to 35. So I think he'll fall late in round one or very early in round two, only because the Greeks settled this years ago. If you got a chance to pick a really talented big man and a really talented small dude, you're going with the big guy. Even if you got to wait, you would never get a sniff of a guy like Simmons if you're picking 31 or 34. And I think you got to seriously consider that. You know, and those teams are really good normally, you know, late in round one.
Mm-hmm.
You got to seriously consider that, okay, we got a redshirt year almost with him.
Yeah.
Boy, he comes back. We got something really, really good. The off-the-field issues, and listen, I think the NFL, they turn a blind eye to that. They talk about all this stuff, player safety and all this character stuff, but come on. We all know life ain't fair. If you're talented, you get a lot more chances than the average individual. And Jeffrey has got that. So far, from the coaches I've spoke to at Mississippi State, they have raved about his work ethic, you know, his ability to work with others and that sort of thing. And so you never really know about that. But to me, that's a serious charge. And it would have dropped him a little bit, but he would have gone no farther than the teens. Now I think he's a late first, early second, and somebody's going to get themselves something there that you're going to say, wow, we would have never gotten Jeffrey Simmons here. Let's go ahead and take him and roll the dice with it that, you know, in 2020 we got him for the full run.
Mike DeTillier with us. Mike, another edge guy, Rashawn Gary, Michigan. What do you think about him?
Man, he's all over the board with me.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I'm not really crazy about.
Okay.
His play is inconsistent. He should be dominating. Was he a dominant player at Michigan? The answer is no.
Sometimes.
He was not a dominating player. He flashed it every once in a while. But if you watched a healthy Nick Bosa, if you watched Quinnen Williams last year, you watched Jeffrey Simmons last year, Rashawn Gary could not touch his jock strap. I mean, those guys outplayed him big time. But he's a great athlete. He will test well. And for a lot of coaches who are busy on the weekends, NFL game-wise, they see that and say, wow, man, that guy, athletically, he's really, really good. But, again, inconsistent moments. He had a really good coaching staff at Michigan. What happened with him? Why wasn't he a great player in college? He was a good player, but he couldn't play like what Quinnen Williams played. He didn't play like what Simmons played. He certainly didn't play like what Josh Allen played at Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And when Nick was healthy, he was a load. But I didn't see that in Rashawn Gary. Somebody's going to pick him probably top five or six, but you know what? He's either going to be a really great player or he's going to be a complete bust, and I'm not taking him.
Mike DeTillier doesn't beat around the bush. I love it. I also love Marquise Brown's not a body snatcher. That's awesome.
He ain't a body snatcher, brother. He catches with the hands. And he better, because if he lets that ball get into his body and they hit him, that ball's going 5,000 different ways.
MikeDeTillier.com, SageReport.com. Thank you, Mike. Always love checking in with you, man.
Thanks a lot. Y'all take care.
All right. Titans radio draft insider and expert, Mike DeTillier. You will hear a lot from him probably on all the shows, certainly with Titans radio as we get closer to the draft. And that thing is here. Can't wait. Body snatcher. That's awesome.